Good morning, everybody. It's really heavy over on this side, but that's okay. Our voices, I know, we chose well. This side gets pretty strong too. Let us gather to worship and take your Sing the Journey and turn to song number 9. Come, now is the time to worship. Let us stand. Sing the Journey, the Green Book. Let us stand. Number 9.
I was out running the dogs this morning, just south of town, and I don't know if you noticed in town, but the fog was so thick you couldn't see from one power line to the next, so those who were out driving in, thank you for being able to make it. But when this fog gets that thick, it gives me a sense of wonder, it gives me a sense of isolation, and it gives me a chance to think. And this morning when I was running the dogs, I got a chance to just think about the majesty and mystery of God and the creation. Fog, just as I was saying, gave me a sense of majesty and wonder of God's creation out there. And I hope it does the same for you. And today, I'd like to welcome you here and hopefully... I did lose my chain of thought. I'd like to welcome you here, and today I'd like to, with Lois's help and guidance, hopefully we'll get a chance to explore God's mystery and majesty. So our call to worship today is not in the bulletin. I thought I would take the call to worship from Psalm 119, verses 49 to 50, which I'll read. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Let us pray. In the midst of continual change, God remains steadfast in God's love for us. God is creating something new, a new heaven and a new earth. Each day offers a newness and hope and faith. Let us open our hearts and spirits to God's creative word for us that we may learn, grow, and serve as effective witnesses to God's love and power. Amen.
Let us continue worshiping by singing some praise songs that sometimes help us focus on why we are here, the assurance that God is with us while we are here, and praise his name. So it will be on the screen or the book, 125, Shout to the Lord. Let's stand, please.
Our Jesus, our Savior, Lord, there is no
wonderful singing. I was watching the smiles. It was really uplifting. The next one is also in Voices Together, but it's an old favorite, I think. What a fellowship we have, leaning on the everlasting arms. Again, assurance that God is with us. And there are three verses.
I'd invite an usher to bring up the offering. And I would offer this as a prayer of blessing. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that by you all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. You warned us not to store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal, but to store up treasures in heaven. Guard our hearts, and may we, in bringing our offerings to you now, store up treasure in your kingdom. May your peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and mind in Jesus Christ. In your powerful name, amen.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for inviting us to come to you just as we are and to share what is on our hearts. Thank you for gathering us together, although it's a lot easier and our society tells us, stay at home, stay separate, stay away, protect yourselves. You call us into one body. You call us together, and so we have come, just as we are, and we've come to worship. We worship because we know that you are God, and you have all authority. And we give thanks when we recognize that the prayers that we prayed were answered the way we want them to be, for the advances that have been made in Ukraine, for the way that elections seem to have gone in the U.S. We thank you that there was not violence. But we also thank you when our prayers don't seem to go the way we want them to go. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for acting. And thank you for your continued presence together with us in the midst of the turmoil and the non-understanding. We pray for all of those that are involved in the war in Ukraine and Russia. We pray for an end to the war. And as we remember other wars and we remember those who have struggled to bring peace in their various ways, we pray for all who are struggling and suffering. We pray for your kingdom on earth and give us eyes that actually see your kingdom already coming. We ask that you would keep lifting us up, encouraging us to remember to pray, especially when health issues strike so close to home and we become worried and concerned and anxious. We pray for that peace that Aaron mentioned, the peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to understand everything because we do lean on you. We lean on those everlasting arms. And this morning, as we pray together as one community, we are leaning on your everlasting arms where peace and justice reign. Thank you for the many ways that you have answered prayers in our lives and the lives of our families. And thank you for your continued work together with us, even through a very small Sunday school class, but that those stories, those events which we know about and we're reminded of, that they would actually make a difference in our lives and in the choices we make and the thoughts we think and the way that we treat other people. We invite your Holy Spirit to transform us. Show us what it is you would like to change within our hearts and lives. We pray for leadership in many different ways and churches, Bridgeway Community, Eyebrow Mennonite, and so many others. We pray that you would guide, you would lead. We pray for Zion and the leadership and everyone who participates. May your will be done. And we pray the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The scripture today is Luke 21, verses 5 to 19, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. and so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I made a little note in the bulletin. I had forgotten to say something I had intended to say. I wanted to say a special welcome to the shortest people in the building today. But they've left Lloyd behind. He's sitting there all by himself now. They're in the baby room, in the cry room. If you want to, there they are. If you want to turn around and wave, hello, welcome here. I remember when they were babies. And that was when we first came, you know, they were just tiny, tiny. And now here they are, big grown-ups. Wow. Okay. Now on to the subject at hand and the sermon at hand. I entitled it Worth Less. Not worthless, but worth less. And that is because I want us to be thinking about the worth, the value of the things that we hold dear. I'm not going to say this and this and this and this. This is for you to figure out for yourself. What is it that we value? What are we trying to save or hang on to because we value it? And what are we willing to endure because we value it? Do we realize or recognize when our soul is in danger? And I use that word soul because the interpretation that I'm using, the scripture NRSV of Luke 21, 5 to 19, the last verse says, by your endurance you will gain your souls. And surely I have no problem with you reading a different version. No problem at all. It's good for us to read different translations and try to understand the whole picture of what is being said, what is being offered, what is the challenge, what is the question? Because this whole thing is a bit of a challenge. All of this prediction and prophecy, it's tough. And it's a tough pill to swallow. And what can we do with this? Because a lot of this, we can look at it as historical. And that's how the hearers actually heard it as well. Jesus began to say, look, all that you see here, within some time, not a single stone is going to be standing on the other. And some here would say, oh, no, I participated in the building of this building. Remember how we built this building together? I've moved from the temple now to Zion Mennonite, in case you didn't catch me. I hear it all the time. Different people have contributed different things in our building. How it was put together and how much work and effort and the community came together and wow, isn't this wonderful? We can get a little bit of how they felt here when Jesus so cavalierly said, look, this is not going to last. One stone is not going to be standing on top of the other. And they didn't seem to have very much of a problem with that. And you know why? Well, I'm sure they had a problem because they spent a lot of years building that temple. And they remembered how it had been destroyed in the past. This wasn't the first temple. This wasn't the first gathering place. They had gone through this before. Periodically, this would happen. And so they heard Jesus' words in light of their history. So they asked the logical question, how will we know when this is going to happen? Because they recognized that this was a certain way of speaking that they had heard before, they had experienced before, they had gone through it before, and it would happen again. The question, when is this going to happen, is not something Jesus was ready to answer. And I would like to suggest that maybe we also ask that question. When are these things going to happen? Are they happening now? Are we in the end times? We hear these comments. We hear these questions. And Jesus says, this is not the question to ask. Why not? My answer to the why not is maybe we're not supposed to know the time because if we knew when, what would we do? Avoid it, wouldn't you? If you knew something bad was going to happen, you'd say, okay, when is it going to happen? Oh, well, then I'm definitely not going to be in that place at that time. Very simple. Isn't that why people go to psychics? So that they know what is going to happen. So that they can avoid the bad or difficult things that are going to happen. So what are the bad and difficult things that we want most of all to avoid? And when we ask those questions, it reveals within ourselves what it is that we value the most. What are we the most afraid of losing? And what are the things that we think are going to happen to cause us to lose those things? Jesus puts the subject and puts the train of thought on totally different tracks and says, think about it differently. He begins with don't. None of us like that kind of phraseology. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Good grief, don't tell me what not to do. Just give me some ideas about what I should do. And I realize that often we leave here on a Sunday morning and I think, I didn't give them any good instructions about how to move forward with what I just said. I think most of the reason for that is because I trust you. And I trust the Holy Spirit working in our lives with what we have heard. Sometimes you hear what I didn't even say. That's the Holy Spirit working together with your heart. Giving wisdom where I have just said words. So the first don'ts, we've got to follow Jesus here. And Jesus says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. First of all, don't be led astray. Don't believe everything you hear, as convincing as it may be. Even when people are coming and they're actually saying they are Jesus, or they are the Messiah, or a Savior, or someone anointed or appointed by God for this particular time. Jesus said, don't be led astray by them. First thing, don't be led astray. And when you hear people saying, the time is near, the time is near, don't be led astray. And I think now is a very good time for us to hear that warning again. We're here, we're all pretty smart people. We're savvy, we have a lot of information, we have a lot of education, we have a lot of life experience, and yet how many of us don't fall for a trick now and then? At April Fool's, we fall for the very simple trick, of course. Or pranks, we fall for those. Or a scam on the internet. Even the smartest people. And then after they have fallen for it, then they say, oh, darn it, how could I have fallen for that? I knew it was a scam. Same thing here. Let's not be too smart with ourselves. Beware, Jesus said. Don't be led astray. Also, another don't is don't be terrified. Oh, come on. Have you looked at the news? How could you not be terrified? I would like to add to this. Now, I know Revelation says, don't add or subtract anything that is written in this book. I'd like to put an aside. How about that? Don't be terrified. Now, I forgot. I forgot what I was going to add. Therefore, I will not add it. Don't be terrified. The world seems to be falling apart. Don't be terrified. It's like telling someone, don't be so upset. Don't worry. Is that helpful? That's not really helpful. Nonetheless, we know, okay, this is something I shouldn't be feeling. I shouldn't be responding or acting in this way. Don't be terrified. The information is terrifying. The world is terrifying. Don't be terrified. And then, after Jesus says, don't be terrified, what does he do? Give them words of comfort? Say, come here, my child. Rest on my shoulder. Leaning on the everlasting arms, yes. Oh, now I remember what I didn't want to add. Don't be a Pollyanna. You know what that means? Don't be a Pollyanna. It means like, la, 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 everything is fine. And that's what they accuse church people of being. That if we're not supposed to be terrified, we're not supposed to pretend like everything is just perfectly good and fine, and this is exactly what we expected, no problem. That's not realistic. And where is the compassion and the steadfast love of God exemplified in our lives? So this is where it gets really tricky. You know, these are feelings that we have, feeling terrified, feeling concerned, feeling anxious. But we have to remember, as we follow the God whom we follow, we are also to exemplify the actions that God shows to us. God is always with us. God has steadfast love and compassion in the midst of these terrifying times. Keep those things together. Keep those ideas together. So what does Jesus do when he says, don't be terrified? He keeps piling on the terrifying things that are going to happen. And this isn't just to make you even more scared. We've just come out of Halloween, and the whole goal is to scare everybody. And the scarier it is, or the grosser it is, the more you have accomplished at Halloween. Jesus says, look, I know what is going to happen. And even though he is saying these terribly scary things, when you hear wars, insurrections, oh, interesting. Interesting word there, isn't it? Insurrections. What have I heard about insurrections lately? Don't be terrified. These must take place, but it's not the end yet. Then he said, even worse things are going to happen. Nation, kingdoms, earthquakes, famines, plagues, dreadful portents, great signs from heaven. This should keep children up at night. This should terrify. And yet Jesus right there says, don't be terrified. And the reason that we can say, yes, we are not going to be terrified is because Jesus told us this beforehand. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what is coming. And what does he expect of us? He doesn't give us a time and say, okay, so get your suitcases ready and bug out. No. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, endure. Endure. And that's the example that we saw as well. As these things happen at a very personal level to Jesus at the crucifixion, endure. But you're only going to endure if what you are enduring and through all of this tumult and terrifying things and horrible, deathly events, you're only going to endure if something of greater worth is going to come out of it. Only if something of greater worth is going to come out of the endurance. On a sidetrack, how do we build endurance? All athletes here should have some picture in their mind besides the protein powder. How do we build endurance? We build endurance by continuing through easy things, light things, happy times. That's not the way we build endurance. That's not the way we prepare for things that will need endurance. It's by facing difficult times. Facing and going through them, continuing through them, because we know that something of greater worth is there after the going through. Something of greater worth. Oh, I'll go through all of this. You know, we hear women going through horrendous kinds of procedures. Why? So that they can bear a child. The greater worth would be to have that child, the baby, and then the baby gets bigger and bigger. And then the mothers start asking, why did I think that was so great? And then it comes around again. However, the thing that we endure through needs to be for the goal of greater worth. And the greater worth here, Jesus says right at the end, by your endurance you will gain your souls. Your souls, really? Your soul. And if you feel any of that drop off, you know, Jesus, other places where he tells stories about there's going to be mansions and there's going to be gold and you will be rulers and you're, you know, all of this other stuff, rewards in heaven. Didn't we hear that already this morning? Your rewards in heaven, build up what is lasting, build up what is of value in heaven. And here Jesus says, you will gain your souls. And maybe we need to spend more time recognizing the value of our very soul. And maybe even recognizing how these other idols have come to influence our lives and our choices, and that they have become more of a draw to us, unbeknownst to us, accidentally, incrementally, just, you know, itty-bitty little step, one step at a time. Shwaya shwaya is what that's Arabic for a step at a time, little bit at a time. This happens. And then when the reward is handed here, Jesus said, you'll gain the reward, which is your soul. And we're disappointed. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 9, there are some gifts that are promised and planned. And these were, Paul writes them to the community there. And the gifts, 12 verses 6 to 9. I just want to look. According to the grace given us, here are the gifts: prophecy, ministry, ministering, teaching, exhortation, giving generously, diligence, compassion, cheerfulness. What? Those are the gifts that were going to be given to the community. And that community is thinking, oh, darn. What we really wanted was honor and philosophy and wisdom, and because that was what they had learned to value in their culture, in their time. Now we are charged with understanding what is it that we have come to value more than the value of our very soul. God says, through Jesus. Not a hair of your head will perish, even through all of these terrible things. And we have seen in Luke 12, verse 7, verses 1 through 7, and Matthew chapter 10, God knows how many hairs are on your head and the diminishing number thereof. God knows all the sparrows that fall. God knows all of the ways that we are destroying God's good creation. Every bug, every bird, every animal, every plot of land. But not a hair of your head will perish. Through all of these wars and famines and pestilence, what? Your soul will endure. There is a limited power here that controls the world. Limited power of kingdoms and nations and wars. Limited power for our destruction of the creation, which causes pestilence and famine, which causes natural disasters. However, we have an all-powerful, omnipotent, caring God who says, by your endurance, you will gain your soul. Endure, not avoidance. Endurance, not stubbornness. We will gain our souls, even if we have to endure over our families. Have we valued our families more than our soul? Over our comfort? Over our immediate consumption? Are we going to endure past these different things that we have allowed to disturb and to quench our very soul? We have got our value system out of line. We are invited through this warning, through Jesus' foreknowledge and comfort, saying, by your endurance, you will gain your soul. Let's pay attention.
Thank you, Lois, for your message to us. And we'd like to respond to that. On the back of your bulletin is the hymn we'd like to sing, Love Lifted Me. Sometimes there's a song in your head during the week and you think, wow, we should sing that Sunday morning or whatever. And this is actually Lois's suggestion. And so let's sing, and maybe other songs come to your mind that, hey, let's sing this together next week. And, you know, throw it at us. We should have a suggestion box because there's so many songs that we don't get to sing here. They're meaningful. They lift us up. They express our faith. Let us stand, please.
Please bow for the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is 849, and the voices together are on the screen. Let us go from here serving God.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.